Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And with me, my guest today, Scott Isringhausen. How's it going, Scott?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Yes. And you're with you got the fishing fair coming up.
Yeah.
And you work for the Department of
Natural Resources, Illinois Department of Natural Resources. And actually, I work for the Division of Fisheries. So technically, I really don't work for the park, but I work for fisheries.
Fisheries. Okay. Yep. Working for fisheries. So tell me about that job. So, you got to keep. You keep track of the fish. What's the deal on working for the fisheries?
Well, hell, there's a lot of different jobs. Most people think of fisheries, they think of someone that's like a biologist, a fish biologist. I'm for sure not that, but actually I'm in charge of Region 4 and 5, which encompasses 38 counties, and my job truly is to get especially the kids kind of hooked on the outdoors or hooked on fishing. So I do lots of wildlife and fishing programs under an ideal situation. I'll do a class. We'll talk about different types of knots. We'll do something on casting, a little bit on water safety, a little bit on fish ID.
This is at the fishing fair.
Well, no, we're not talking that. I'm talking about it in my job.
So, just regularly.
Right. That's kind of what I do kind of throughout the southern part of Illinois. So that's my real...
Do you travel around?
I travel, yes. I technically, like I said, I don't really work for the park. I work my supervisor is actually in Springfield, and I'm in charge of Region 4 and 5, and I do primarily fishing and wildlife programs or presentations throughout the southern part of the state to try to promote the great sport of fishing is what I do.
Yeah. And when you were a kid, were you an avid fisherman?
I was.
An adult, too.
I know you mentioned Sean a while ago. Sean was not near the hunter and the fisherman that I was, but I was kind of the hunter and fisherman of the family. So
you brought home the food. When groceries got scarce, you went out and got some.
I brought home the food while he was always working on the farm. So, but no, I've always enjoyed to, kind of be able to, to teach people what little bit that I know, which isn't very much, but I always like to fish and, always like dealing with the public.
Yeah, I have a kind of a challenge for you. I don't know if you'd ever want to take this up, but I am the absolute worst fisherman that's ever lived. Every time I've tried to fish. I'm awful. I'm terrible. I just can't. I've tried my whole life off and on, to fish. And I don't know, man. I just don't have it. Like, there's no way. I just can't do it.
Well, I'm going to tell you 5 tips will increase your chance of catching a fish. Number one.
Okay, what is it?
You think about a fish, small hook. Remember, you can catch small fish with a small hook. You can catch big fish with a small hook. So if you go to the store, buy a small one rather than a larger one.
Okay, let me write that down.
Number small two, always fish around habitat because they're not usually out in the middle of the lake. They're, around trees and boat docks and lily pads. So remember, 90% of the fish live in 10% of the water.
Okay, I want to stop you right there. I've used small hooks, and I've fished in the habitat. Go on.
Okay, that's number two. you mentioned earlier older people or whatever like me, they always told you to be patient. I tell them just the opposite. I say move around. Once you find fish, then it's time to, pretty patient.
And then
one of the very most important rules is...
Okay, that's three. Now we got four, right?
We got four.
Okay, what's four?
The next one is to remember to set the hook. You know what I mean by setting the hook? Give it a good yank.
Don't just reel it in.
The other thing I like to tell people, and maybe you're not primarily fishing for bluegill, but I always say use a smaller bobber instead of a larger bobber, just because if you have one that barely floats, you're going to see that bobber move much easier than if you use a huge big bobber. So that's my 5 rules, and that will increase your chance of catching a fish.
Okay.
But you've already done all 5 of them, you said, right?
Yeah, I've done all that. I still struck out.
So I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you.
Hey, how about, though, time of day? Doesn't that play in?
Time of day makes a difference. Earlier in the year, you probably want to fish more in the middle of the day when the water starts to warm up. And then, getting into, June, July, and August, you do want to go, early in the morning, late in the evening. And night works really well, too. But, thinking of time of the year, when the fish spawn, when they go in and lay their eggs, depending on what species of fish, that's a really good time to to catch the fish, because they're all congregated up on the banks and, you know, in a lot smaller part of the lake, or lesser, you know, not out in the big part of the water.
I remember when I was a young kid, we did something was fun and didn't take a lot of talent, and that was we get these forks on a pole, you know, like little pitchforks, and go
gig the fish, weren't you?
Gig billy gars. Mm-hmm. You remember those?
I do.
Those things still exist?
Oh, they're still there. Yep. We have several different species of gars. Long nose, short nose, but yes.
You know, you don't eat those, right?
No.
No.
Most people don't anyway.
No,
I'll just say that.
I wouldn't
that.
Think so. Yeah, they were some
and
ugly
don't
things.
Ever put your, you know, hand up by their teeth, because they got some sharp teeth.
Yeah. And they're still out there.
They're
What's the most popular fish to fish for here in our area?
Well, probably in our area, it probably is catfish, just because of this, you know, this river system we have, the Illinois and the Mississippi River. I mean, this is one of the best, you know, places in the entire world for catfish.
Really?
and big catfish, you know, like by the, you know, the Alton Lock and Dam. I mean, you know, we talked about Grafton a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
They had a tournament, I'm going to guess 4 years ago, and I was down there, had some education stuff there, and it was a 3-fish limit. And I think that it was 226 pounds somebody caught with 3 fish.
My gosh, that's like a horse.
It is. I think two of them were in the 80s.
How do you reel something? How do you handle something like that? 226 pounds.
Real carefully.
I mean,
that's 3 fish. I'm not talking 1 fish. 3 fish.
Oh.
3 fish totaled that much, you know, in weight.
Okay, but even like, let's say, does a fish, you know, had to get like 75 pounds, right?
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, 75 pound fish. How do you get a 75-pound fish in the boat?
You kind of wrestle him in, to be honest with you, and you know,
and not break the line.
It's a process, and these people that fish for these kinds of fish, I mean, they're set up for that. You know, they have, you know, much stronger line than, you know, that you and I would fish for, and a lot of them do, you know, what they
call. Well, maybe stronger than me, but not you. You're the fishing guru of Illinois.
I don't know about that.
Right.
But I will share a story, and this was happened last summer. I caught a 40-pound catfish on 10-pound line down at the Lake of the Ozarks.
No kidding.
That's a true, not a fish story. That's a true story.
All right.
But it took about 40 minutes to get that fish in.
Did you
real
have that
tired.
Fish mounted, or did you eat it?
No, you threw him back in the water.
Oh,
so it's
did?
Just a fish story now. But I do have a picture I can show you.
Okay. Is that what you do with the big fish when you catch them? Throw them
back
in? Is that what people do?
I probably do. I don't say everybody does. No, he would have been fine to eat, but we just didn't. It was a blue cat is what it was.
Okay. So catfish are the best. How about in the ponds? Bluegill?
Well, bluegill, crappie, bass, that's what you're going to probably bluegill and bass, what, you know, most of the ponds you're probably, some ponds do have crappie in them, but you got to be careful because sometimes they get really overpopulated in there. But probably the ponds are mostly bluegill and bass, and the river system, primarily catfish is what people really go after.
Now, something that, you know, recently we went out west and we were in Yellowstone, and it was very popular, a lot of fly fishing. You know, you see people out fly fishing in the boots, you know, wading out and fishing. Do people do that around here?
They do somewhat. Even some for bluegill, they do that, you know, like little poppers on top of the water. But areas where they release the trout, they a lot of times will fly fish for the trout around here. We have, and I can't tell you how many lakes, but in the spring and the fall, the DNR actually puts trout in certain bodies of water, like Beaver Dam, which is over near Carlinville, Illinois, Belk Park, which is in Wood River, but different places they actually, Frank Holton in East St. Louis, they put trout in, you know, these bodies of water. So they do, and, you know, I know we talked a little bit off the air, especially Missouri, you probably hear the people going down to Montauk and places like that, and that's how they fish for them trout.
Yeah.
With flies.
Yeah. They do?
Mm-hmm.
But how about the waving around, you know?
Well,
like they do this. They keep it going.
And, they take that line out, yeah, and they do wave that around a little bit. But, yeah, it's kind
is
of...
Do they have to do that? I mean, is that part of the fishing, just for show?
It helps that line come out is what it does.
Oh.
See, they got to get... They just keep moving it back and forth, and eventually get that line out
Where they want it?
Where they want it to go.
Mm-hmm. I see. All mm-hmm. right. Have you ever did that?
Not for a while, and I'm not real good at it, but I have done it, yes.
Yeah. So your favorite fishing is catfishing?
I probably like crappie fishing, to be honest with you. I really like to fish for crappies, what I really like to fish.
What's the best eating fish?
Well, I think the crappie are pretty much on top of the world as far as to eat. I mean, you can't hardly mess them up, you know. You can fry them, you can bake them, you can grill them, and they're just a really good fish to eat, for sure.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Scott Isringhausen with me here today. He works for Illinois in the, you got the Southern, you're the Southern?
Southern part, Region 4 and Region 5.
Yeah.
And it's broke up into five regions in the state.
Yeah, and your job is to get people fishing.
It really is.
Especially kids.
I mean, especially kids. You're 100% right.
Right. Yeah. And you got the big fishing fair
coming
up June 6th.
This
is where kids really get to fish.
They do. You know, a couple of different places at the fishing fair they get to fish. So.
Yeah, 37th annual.
Can you believe that? And I'm only 36 years old, and I did start. No, I'm kidding. But yes, it is.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff, and it's all free.
100% free, except for we do, and actually it's the soccer team from the Jerseyville High School. They do sell some food, but, I mean, if you don't want to eat, it's 100% free.
I mean, people don't mind paying for their food. And you can even eat the fish. You catch a fish.
And that won't cost you if you do that. You can catch a trout in the trout pond, actually have it cleaned, then actually eat the fish that you...
And you cook it, though. You don't have to eat it raw.
They cook it for you. We have fish preparation cooking stations, so that's one of the stations. We didn't talk about that, but that's an actual station where they teach you how to clean the fish.
Okay, so let's talk about the fair. I was there last year. I took my nephew's kids. They had a blast. They were like, you know, 7, 8, and 10, and had a great time fishing, all free. You know, they... You create, you got some big pools that you bring in. You got this big aquarium.
We got a big aquarium, and then we also have a trout pond, which is, you know, that's the two things that are actually created. But yes, we do have a big aquarium as well as the trout pond.
And there's how many fish are in that aquarium?
Well, I don't know numbers in that aquarium.
I mean, different kinds
of fish. But we'll have about 30 different kinds out of the river systems, out of the lake. So it's kind of like an underground world as to what would actually be out in that river if you could see down in that river. So, you know, 30 – and sometimes you mentioned the catfish. Sometimes we'll have a 50, 60, 70-pound catfish in that tank for people
now,
to see.
Now, all the fish in this aquarium, and it's like a trailer truck, right?
I mean, it is. It's a flatbed trailer with a, you know, aquarium on it, basically, is what it is.
All those – everything in there comes out of the river.
Not 100%. They get some of the bass, some of the crappie. Some of them actually come from some of the surrounding bodies of water, like Pittsfield and possibly Gillespie Lake.
But we do have those type of fish in our river.
They do have them in the river. They're just not as plentiful as they are, like in some of the lakes or the ponds. But most of the fish do come from the river. They really do. And our fish biologists do what we call electroshocking. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but they put actually electricity in the water. Then fish come up to the water. You got to be pretty quick because they will, you know, get away, or they'll, you know, come back to life, start swimming.
You do that?
I've been involved in that a few times, and that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, is it legal, like, to take a stick of dynamite and throw it in the water?
If you don't get caught, that's hard to say, but no.
No.
If they're not biting, I don't want to say that either. I'll be in trouble.
No. But... About how about the shocking? Can anybody go out and shock?
No,
is that legal
too? That's highly illegal. It really is. Yes,
okay. Mm-hmm.
But our biologists do this because they sample the fish, they measure the fish, and that's a big part of their jobs during the spring, the summer, and the fall is to kind of check fish populations, and that's where they come up with kind of the rules. Like, say, you can take six bass so big out of a body of water. So that's how they monitor the fish to, see how healthy they are. And that's where a lot of the rules and regulations come from.
Did they put any of those, what are those fish, the carp, the Chinese carp?
The Asian carp.
Yeah.
There'll be some carp in that aquarium.
Are they still multiplying? Are you trying to get rid of them?
We try to get rid of them everywhere, any way we can, but. They're a problem.
Yeah, they're a problem. They got in. We can't get rid of them. They keep multiplying.
They're eating everything. And that's, they're affecting the shad, which affects the fish population, mm-hmm. which is the bait fish. So, they're bad news.
Yeah. If a person could figure out a way to get rid of them,
they'd probably become a millionaire or billionaire, maybe.
Really?
So, if you come up with that plan, you and I can just live life good.
Okay. So, we got now, for the listeners... you go there, it's at Pier Marquette State Park, and they got plenty of parking. You get parked, and How many stations do you have, different stations?
We have approximately 30. I think we had 32 last year, but I think it's going to be 30 or 31 this year. I haven't really completed the map. So, yes, there's, you know, plus there's attractions like, you know, the Q&M Fire Department. The helicopter from up here is going to land here. You know, there's, you know, we mentioned Jimmy Houston and some of the different entertainments and Camel the Clown. So there's, but 30 number stations plus many other things besides the number stations.
Little shows going on.
Different things going on throughout the day.
And you can... You can go to the fishing pond, catch a fish. Like you say, they'll cook it. And they have, like, I know they had a station where you could, they teach you how to make a fly.
They do a fly tying station. They do,
fly tying station. Mm-hmm. Bow fishing. They got a bow fishing station.
We got a couple of them, to be honest with you.
What's that like?
Well, the one is actually 3D targets where you shoot just at a fish. Obviously, it's not moving, but... My favorite one is we have actually three tanks that Farm and Home was actually donated to us and to let us use, I mean to borrow. But we have fish that are battery-operated fish. They swim in this water, and they stand on a dock, and they actually get to try to shoot them fish in that water.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever did that, shot bow fishing?
Just off the dock. I've never done it in real, but something I would like to do sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, because it used to.
I have trouble catching them in the fishing pole, let alone trying to shoot them with a bow and arrow.
And they got virtual fishing.
We got virtual fishing.
I could probably do that.
Well,
virtual.
You might catch one there, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes they get off there though, so I don't know. But what it is, it's a big television set that's attached to a fishing pole, and really realistic. But you have a chance to catch like really some. We have common fish like the bass, the crappie, the smallmouth bass, walleye. But then we have big fish like the tarpon, the dolphin fish. I can't even think what all. But some of the ocean fishes that are out there, you know,
well,
some of them will be huge. And I was telling you earlier, you get a little kid on there. I mean, that fishing pole. When that fish bites, it just about takes them all the way up to the set where the TV is. So you kind of got to be careful and have somebody there because, I mean, it's that realistic. It'll about jerk that pole right out of your hand.
And it's free.
It's 100% free.
Yeah. And then how about this you were telling me about, we were talking a little bit about noodling, logging that used to be popular over in Calhoun. I just remember guys talking about logging, which I'm like, logging? What's logging? And go ahead, you explain what it is.
Well, what it is, it's actually catching a fish by hand in that old murky, you know, water. Now, the aquarium, which we have a different aquarium and a different person there, we actually used to demonstrate that at the fishing fair, somebody going underneath the water and actually have a fish that's like in a big trash can or something, and they go down there. But that fish bites on your hand.
You put your hand out
you
there.
You put your hand in there, and that fish bites on
you.
You should wear gloves.
Yeah, okay,
most people
right.
do. But you'll see the marks on their hands after they're done. And, you know, the bad thing is sometimes they grab onto a fish so big, the person could just about drown. Because, you know, getting that fish, you're wrestling that fish up out of the water. This doesn't sound like much fun to me.
Yeah.
But they do that actually at the fishing fair with the trout. At the end of the day, which would be actually about 4:15.
Mark that down.
We'll let the kids get in there. So bring swimming trunks if you're interested in doing that part of the show.
Okay.
And they actually catch them trout actually by hand.
So they drain it down.
We'll drain it down about halfway. Have you ever seen a grease pig contest?
Oh yeah,
it's just kind of exactly, and it's hilarious to watch.
That is hilarious.
It really
so
is.
So drink what? Is it a foot deep water? Or what
probably may not even quite that deep at that time. When it's full, it's about 3 feet. So yeah, probably maybe a foot or maybe even less.
Okay. So, and then the kids get in there and they get to try to catch.
They get to try to catch them fish.
And what happens if they catch it?
They can keep the fish. Yep, they can take it home with them. They sure can.
Will you cook it for them too?
Well, I didn't say that. I'll eat it for them. You know, there's two good things about fishing. You know what they are, don't you? And one bad.
Well, let me write this down. What is it?
The one is catching. The other is eating. But cleaning's not so good. So I'll do two of the three.
Yeah, that cleaning's no fun. So what else we got? Am I missing anything?
Well, we mentioned the trout pond where they catch a fish. You don't have it clean, and that's a big part of it. We have the bluegill pond where the kids can actually, you know, catch a bluegill. And then we have a thing called First Fish Photo where they get a picture taken of their first fish. You know, some of the youngsters, and I'm sure thousands and thousands throughout the years, they've caught their first fish right there at the little, you know, educational bluegill.
I might catch my first
bluegill pond. Come on down. We'll try to, you know, if you can't catch one, I'll make you close your eyes and I'll tie one, put a hook on it, tie my eyes, or close your eyes and you can, you know, catch that fish. And, you know, some of the basic stations, and I'm not sure if you understood me earlier, but we're talking about the pitch and flip station where there's overhand casting, which we will have that, you know, teach overhand casting. But the pitch and flip station is so special because, you know, you pitch a jig or a lure out there. I mean, a lot of people really like to fish like this.
It's on a pole.
It's on a fishing pole, on a rod and reel.
All right.
And you just kind of pitch that out there. And, you know, I talked about the habitat earlier when we were talking.
Right, I remember that.
You know, I talk about that tree out there. And you know, when I was a kid, you know, I always like to, you know, fish, and I'd put cans out there in the yard, and I'd actually practice that pitch and flip. And so, you know, kind of like a sport, that was my sport, is, you know, learning how to, you know, learning how to do that.
Put it in the right spot.
Because the closer you can get to that tree, the better chance you're catching that fish, for sure.
Hey, we got to mention a couple things. We're getting close to being out of time here. The celebrities. You got some celebrities there, some famous fishers.
We really do. Yeah. Number one, we have Mountain Man, which his name is Tim Girardi, and I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, but he's off the show Duck Dynasty, if you've all watched Duck Dynasty. Super down to earth. Now, if he was doing this interview, it would take him about 20 minutes to say 10 words. So he talks really, really slow. If you guys have all seen him on TV.
Does he do that all the time or just?
No, that's his normal voice. I mean, you can look up Mountain Man and that's the way he's talked ever since he's been a youngster. But super nice person, super approachable. He'll sign autographs. We have pictures where you can, you know, that you can get for him to sign. And then we also have Camel the Clown. I don't know if you've ever heard of Camel the Clown, if you saw him when you were there, a couple of years ago. He's such an entertaining person. He comes from Ziegler, Illinois, down the southern part of the state, but he does 3 or 4 shows during the day, but he'll entertain the crowd. He does all kinds of animal calls. I mean, he's super, super entertaining. And he's been at the fishing fair, I think, since year 2 of the Tourist Family Fishing Fair. And then we also have Jimmy Houston, Hall of Fame fisherman. He's going to fly in here on Friday, and he will be here for the event there to sign autographs. And, you know, you think about fishing, one of the first names that's going to come to your mind, if you've been around the sport very long, is Jimmy Houston. I mean, he's about as well-known as any fisherman in the whole entire United States.
Wow.
And super, super nice guy and super approachable, and he tells a lot of stories. He's going to do we talked about the aquarium a little while ago, but they're going to do shows and seminars from the aquarium. Him and Mountain Man will actually do a show together. They're both friends. Mm-hmm. And then they will actually do a show individually as well. So, you know, even if you don't like to fish, you don't have kids, you know, just come and see Jimmy Houston and Mountain Man. I think you'll be pretty impressed as to what they're going to do for you. I think you'll really like getting to mingle with them for sure.
Yeah, and before we run out of time, you wanted to mention some of your sponsors. You got some big sponsors.
We really do.
Because this is free, and this is put on by...
We got some pretty big sponsors. And before we do that, Wyatt is free, and this is a free program, and every single child will actually leave with a prize, whether it be a fishing pole, tackle box. They're all going to leave with something, like I said. So it is free. But our big sponsors, primarily Phillips 66, the Wood River Refinery, is huge for us. They've been doing this and been involved with this for a long time. The Farm and Home Store, Jerseyville and Alton, I mean, they're super, super helpful. They bring people. They give us a lot of stuff. They donate the water. They just do lots and lots of stuff. And then the Jersey County Board, they actually are a sponsor as well. And then Jerseyville Walmart. So a lot of local sponsors. And we also do have several state farms, a couple from Madison County, a couple from all the ones in Jersey County, and then also in Carrollton. In addition to that, not to list them all, but many of the different banks and businesses. And again, this wouldn't be possible without all your help, and truly from my heart, I truly am very grateful and appreciative for all the sponsors and the volunteers. It takes over 200 people to make this day happen. So if anybody's a volunteer and they're out there listening, I'm very, very grateful for you guys actually helping with the fishing fair.
Okay, fishing fair, June 6th, 37th annual, all free, starts at 10 o'clock, 10 to 4. And make sure you get there. It'll be a lot of fun, especially for the kids.
Please come down.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thank you very much.